Today's shir is dedicated for his chus for fu shlema for shalom and bracha. Today's shir is Masech Nedarim da pei ches, and we will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbaruch on da pei zayin on the base at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, as we've been learning extensively, a husband has a right to be made from the Nedarim of his wife, of course with certain conditions. So if a woman made a neder, a wife made a neder, and the Yom Shamay of the day of the saying, hearing the neder passed, which, as we've discussed many times, if the Yom Shamay passes and he wasn't made for the neder automatically becomes Mekuyim, the neder becomes automatically confirmed. But the husband says, Yedei ani sheyesh nedarim, I know that my wife is able to make nedarim, avol ani yedei sheyesh mefirim, I was not aware that I have the ability to be made for the nether. And therefore, when I heard my wife made the nether, I didn't say anything because I wasn't aware that halachically I can accomplish something. And now I became aware of that halacha. So today is not the Yom Shamay. It could be many days after the Yom Shamay. Today is considered the day he becomes aware of the halacha that a husband can be made from the dharma of his wife is the day of Yom Shamay. If the husband said, I am aware that a wife can make a neder. I am aware that I can be made for the neder. I was not aware that the neder that my wife had made was of the type of nedarim that I could be made for. What is the halacha? I was not aware that this is the type of a neder that I could be made for. Ramei amelo yafel. Ramei says that this neder can know if it's already past Yom Shamay, since then he knew that he can be made from the Dorim, even though he wasn't aware that this is the type of neder he can be made for, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that he knew is enough to make it be considered a Yom Shamay. And as the Rishonim explained the opinion of Meir, given that he knew about Hilchus Hafaras Nedarim, and he didn't know all the halachas, what he should have done is gone to a Rav and ask him, is this the kind of neder I could be made for? Or is it not the kind of neder I could be made for? And the fact that he didn't go to him, it's on him. The Chum hold that he could still be made for. Again, the fact that he wasn't aware that this is a type of a neder of that he could be made for, it's similar to the first case of our Mishnah. And since it's similar to the first case of our Mishnah, where just like if a husband wasn't aware that it could be made for a neder, the halacha is when he becomes aware, that becomes the Yom Shamay. Here too, when he becomes aware that he can be made for a neder, when he becomes aware that this is the type of neder that he can be made for, that time and only that time is considered the Yom Shamay. Says the Gemara, the halacha is that if somebody kills somebody else b'shagig, the murderer goes to the imiklat until the kohen gadol passes away. As the Torah Kedoshah says, "Vim pesa b'lo eva hadofoi, a shif a hishlach alav kol kli b'lo tzedia, a b'chel evan ashiyumas b'lo rois, v'yip alav yamas v'hu lo yoyv lo yv'lo yamavakash v'asoi." So the Torah goes on to say that he should go into the ori miklat, to the Admoi v'yoshabai, and he remains there, says the Pasuk, Admoi is ha-Kohen Gadol, asher mosach oisem v'shem en ha-Kodesh, until the Kohen Gadol passes away. So, the Tanoim debate, what is the halacha if somebody is blind, and he killed somebody b'shoyig, accidentally? How does the halacha look at such a situation? For a minute, the Mishnah Masech Makis, Daf Tes on the base teaches us, the Torah says, "Beloy rois." We read the words "beloy rois." From here, learns the Gemara Prat L'Suma. The pasuk says, the pasuk is speaking. The Torah is telling us we're speaking about a pasuk, a person who normally could see, and in this situation, he didn't see the person, and that's why he killed him. But a person who's blind, who cannot see at all, doesn't go to Golus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Yehuda. Ramei, I'm Ramei, disagrees and says, the rabbis is Suma. Since a blind person can somewhat discern when a person is approaching him. He could hear his footsteps, he could hear things, and therefore a blind person also ought to pay attention to what it's doing, to what he is doing, and therefore if he killed somebody, b'shogeg, he goes to galus. So as the Gemara, we seem to have a stira, a contradiction in the opinion of Rameya. Rameya says that just because the fact that you know, you could, a blind person could identify to some degree his victim, that's nixas yediya, is enough to be considered enough of a yediya to be chayiv galus. So obviously Rameya's opinion is that a mixas yediya is considered a yediya. But in Rameya, in our Mishnah says that even though the husband is aware that the wife can make nedarim, that fact is inadequate that it should be considered that he could be made from nedarim. Unless he knows that halacha, then it's not considered he had a yediya. So of course, all the Rishonim, the Ran, and all the Rishonim immediately ask, instead of asking a question from the Reisha, which seems that Rameya's positions are inconsistent, the Sefer seems to have a consistency in opinion of Rameya. Because in the Sefer we learned that Rameya's opinion is that if the husband knew about the nether, and the husband knows that he can be made for nether, he just wasn't aware that this nether that his wife made is from the type of nedarim that he could be mefer, Rameya says that's already considered a yediya. So instead of asking a question from the Reisha, we should have asked a kasha, we should bring a raya from the Sefer. So the Ran explains that Rameya's opinion is in the Sefer that he can't be made for the nether, not in the day that he hears the nether, because he's not aware that he can be made for such a nether. He can't be made for the nether on the day when he becomes aware that this is the type of nether that he can make for, because then it's not considered Yoim Shamay. And therefore, he explains the Gemara's question is really trying to understand Rameya's opinion in the Mishnah itself. From the beginning of the Mishnah, Rameya seems to say that a mixas yediya is not considered yediya. And from the Sefer of our Mishnah, and from the din of Suma, it seems that a mixas yediya is yediya. The Tosfos, because of this question, Tosfos has a whole different pshat in the Gemara. And Tosfos explains the Gemara's focus is if the pasuk's words teach us one halacha and logic teaches us another halacha, what do we follow? Do we follow the wording of the pasuk or do we follow logic? If we think about it logically, a suma, if he killed somebody, should be chayiv galus. Because even a suma should be careful with what he's doing. But the pasuk says, b'loy ra'ois. And the pasuk seems to indicate that only because he could have seen and didn't pay attention, that's why he's chayiv galus. But the pasuk seems to teach us that if somebody is blind, who can't see at all, he is not in the parasha of galus. And the fact that Rameya says that a suma is chayiv galus seems to indicate that Rameya's opinion is that when the pasuk takes us in one direction and logic takes us in a different direction, we follow the svara, we follow logic. And therefore, as we said a moment ago, it makes sense that a suma, who should also be paying attention to what he's doing, should go into the galus. But if we look in the ratio of the Mishnah, Rameya, where we speak about a person who isn't aware that he can be made for the dharma of his wife, the halach is that he can't be made for that nether on the day that he heard. So why? Even though the pasuk says v'shama v'hechrish, that it just depends on hearing, doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make that if he's heard and he was mekayim the nether. But if he wasn't made for the nether because he wasn't aware, then he doesn't lose the right to be made for. But if we follow Svara, the Svara says that we should not allow him to be made for anymore because he heard and didn't say anything. So that's the question. Do we follow, the theory is, do we follow logic or do we follow the wording of the pasuk? To which Rava answers, Hachem inyana dekra, v'machem inyana dekra. We can't just take two psukim, the pasuk by Golus and the pasuk by Nedarim, and sort of connect them and start asking questions. We have to look at the pasuk itself. When a Summa doesn't go to the Golus, the pasuk says, that's what the pasuk seems to teach us. V'achem by a forest, Nedarim, the pasuk teaches us that if he had some knowledge, then he can. So in other words, the way the Ran explains the Gemara, the Ran says at the beginning we thought that the Machlokes was based on logic, and the Pesukim were only in a smachta. Now what the Gemara is actually teaching us is that we have to look at the words of the Pesuk. And the Gemara goes on to explain how the wording of the Pesuk teaches us what we're saying. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Gabar Ritzach said, when we speak about a Ritzach, the Pesuk says, Ashiyova Esrei Biyar, the Pesuk begins by teaching us if somebody enters the forest, lit lachta of Eitzim, to chop wood, v'nitcha yoda begazin, and is holding on to the axe, lichris eitz, to cut the tree, v'noshel habarzim and eitz, and the metal, the part of the axe, disconnects, v'motza sreyu v'meis, and it hurts somebody and kills him. So the pasuk is saying that who does this, that's the parasha of Golus, of Ritzach B'shoigit. Who is the Torah speaking to? Says the Gemara, the Torah is speaking to Kol Debeyer Ma'eliyar, anyone who's capable of walking into a forest. And certainly, says the Gemara, the Sumanami Bar Ma'eliyarhu, a blind person could also enter a forest. Vi Amrit, if the Pasuk says B'loi Ra'ois, comes to say L'Rabbis is a Suma, to teach us that a blind person also is in the category of Golus, we already know that Halacha. Because we just learned it from the din of Yar Nafgalei El Shmamino. How must we understand the pasuk Beloy Rois? We have to understand the pasuk Beloy Rois is coming to teach us Prat L'Suma, and that's why that opinion holds that a blind person is not going to be Chayiv Golos. Rameya says the pasuk says V'dvar again V'zedvar Tzayich Hashon Hashama V'choy Ashirakus Reyeu B'vli Das. Says the Gemara, called by Meida. Who is the person that is Chayiv Golos? Somebody who has that intelligence. The Suma, Abba Meida. A Suda is not in the category of an individual who could recognize if he throws something where it's going to go. The Amrit. And if you're going to say, B'loi Ra'ois is coming to teach us Prat L'Suma, that a Suma is excluded. We already learned this. We already learned from the word of Belidas that a Summa is excluded. El Shmamino, what must be Belorois coming to teach us? Le Rabbis as a Summa. It's coming to teach us that a Summa is Chayiv Golos. So now, the way we understand, there's no stira between Hilchus Nedarim and Hilchus Golos. Because in Hafaras Nedarim, as we learned the Mishnah, the Machlokes is really based on Svara and Svara alone. There are no real Psukim, just the way the Ran learns the Gemara. There are really no Psukim that teach us, point us in any specific direction. And since there are no Psukim that teach point us in a specific direction, so we follow Svara. Whereas by the Halacha of Golus, it's all based on Psukim. Since it's all based on Psukim, Aramea, as we just learned, learns the Psukim in one way, and Rabbi Yehuda learns the Psukim in a different way, and that's the only basis for Halacha. Mishnah says, Hamadad Hanoam Mechasnoi. Somebody made a nether that his son-in-law may not have any benefit from him. But this father wants to give his daughter money. But we know, as we often discuss, the Halacha is, Kol Masha Kansa Isha Kanabala. Whatever a wife acquires really becomes her husband's. So how could a father who made this type of a nether that my son-in-law can't have any benefit from me make this nether be able to have his daughter benefit from him? So the father gives her money and attaches the following stipulation. He says, I'm giving you this money as a gift with the stipulation Uvach loyeh lebalach rishus behem. The husband shouldn't have any rishus, any power over that money. Ela masha atna senes from senes b'picha. This gift should be exclusively yours. And therefore, in that case, the husband doesn't have ownership over the money. It's considered completely in the property of the wife. And the Mishnah here is teaching us that a husband, a father, or anyone could give a wife a gift, and attach this condition that it has to be whatever is going to giving you is going to be used only for you to be for your purpose. Why would be the halacha if the says the Ran, this halacha that we just discussed is only when the father is giving his daughter money. So he's saying that the money will be used for food that will be eaten completely by you. But if he gave her money, then it would not, then the halacha would be very differently. If he gave it directly food, then it's very different. The Rush asks, we learned earlier that if somebody made a neder that somebody can't benefit from me, the way you could do it is we could not give it to him as a direct gift. So if I'm not giving it to that person as a direct gift, why is it different here? So the answer, says the Rosh, it's very different by everybody else and by a husband. The husband becomes automatically the owner of the property that the wife owns. And since the husband becomes owner of everything that the wife owns, that's why it's different than by any other gift that we speak about. It's different than other gifts that we speak about. And therefore, as we said, the Mishnah taught us that if Shimon made a neder that he's not allowed to have any benefit from Reuven, Shimon is allowed to benefit from a gift that Levi gets from Reuven. Why? Because benefiting from an item which was originally Reuven's after it was transferred to Levi is not considered as he's benefiting from Reuven. So therefore, as we just said, why can't the father give the gift to the daughter? And once it becomes the daughter's, then the husband should be able to benefit from it, because it should not be considered as the husband is benefiting from the father. It's considered as the husband's benefiting from his wife. So, as I said, the Rosh explains, since the husband's rights to his wife's gifts are not the same as anybody else. When I have something and I give it to somebody else as a gift, it's because I chose to give it to him as a gift. It never becomes somebody else's automatically. Whereas when a wife receives a gift, given the halacha that we started this sugya with, of kol shakani isha konsabala, so it's not like I give it to the wife, and now it's the wife's, and now she's giving it to her husband. It's considered immediately as if it's given to the husband. Other Rishonim point out that even on that case that we spoke about on Daf Mem Gimel, there we were speaking about a case where Reuven is not allowed to have, where Shimon is not allowed to have any benefit from Reuven, and Reuven and Shimon are now traveling together, and Shimon has nothing to eat. And the Mishnah had to come up with a solution how Reuven, who does have something to share, Reuven should be able to get that food. So as we learned, when we learned that sugya, that many Rishonim that speak say that that sugya speaking specifically because we're in a dire situation where Shimon needs to eat, and the only way he gets something to eat is from Reuven. Our Mishnah is not speaking about that case. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where the father-in-law said that his son-in-law is now at a benefit from him, and now he wants to figure out a way how he could give his daughter a gift. That's a totally different situation. And in this situation, there's no emergency involved. And since there's no emergency involved, the halacha is that we have to come up with we only could do what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah in Masechet Kedushin, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, quotes a machlokes of Ramei and the Chachamim by guarding an Eved Kanani being freed by paying off his owner to give him his freedom. So the Ramey's opinion is that the only way an Eved Kanani can be freed that way by paying his way out is by giving his owner, somebody else paying for the Eved Kanani to get out. Because since there's a rule, Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, so any money that the Eved Kanani will get hold of will automatically become the property of his owner. And therefore, Ramea says, the only solution how an Eved Kanani could be freed is by being paid, by paying himself out, is not by himself paying himself out. That wouldn't work. The only way it could work is by somebody else, paying on his behalf. The Chachamrim disagree. The Chachamrim hold that there's a possibility for an Eved Kanani to have his own money. How is it possible? If somebody gave him money, if somebody gave the Eved Kanani money, I'm Manas She'en La Rabbi Rishus Bay. I'm giving you this money, and I'm stipulating that the owner can't. Your owner doesn't have any rights to this money. So our Gemara, our Mishnah, is seemingly following the opinion of Rameya. And otherwise, the wife could have money. Amar Rav, to which Rav says that when the Mishnah said that the father gave the daughter money, and he said to her, this money is given to you, Elamash at Noisas, when it's sent us beficha, well, how do we understand it? Amar Rav Loi Shanu, Ela de Amaloi, specifically because the father made the statement and said, Mach at Noisas when the son is beficha, that he made this statement, that's why the husband doesn't get ownership of what the father gave the daughter. Aval Omer Masha Tirtzi Asi, but if the father gave the daughter money and says, you could do with this money whatever you please, then the halacha would be Kana Yosem Baal, because even though he made a condition that the father should not have any reshus in the money, that condition is meaningless, because Ramea's opinion is that just like Koma Shekana Eved, Kana Rabbi, the same thing will be Koma Shekana Isha, Kana Bala. And therefore, without this special condition that it should be used for eating, it would not be effective. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees and says, even if the father who made this neder that said that the husband, his son-in-law can't have any benefit from him, if he gives the money to the daughter and says to the daughter, this money is yours, and at Masha Tirtza Asi, you could do whatever you want with that money, still, that is enough of a stipulation to Loikana Yasam Baal to prevent the husband from having ownership of the money. The Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is seemingly the Machloikis of Rameyer and the Chachamim. Rav paskins like Rameyer, and that's why in order for the daughter to have exclusive rights to this money and that the husband should not be able to take over that money is the only way it's effective by saying match at Nasanis Vasicha Beficha. That's like a way of keeping the husband away from that money. Shmuel, because he follows the opinion of Rav Meir. On the other hand, Shmuel paskins like the Chachamim, that even though the halacha is Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi, but if the money is given to the Eved explicitly that his owner shouldn't have reshus to it, then the owner can't have reshus from it, and that's how the Eved can acquire money and then use that money to buy his freedom. So too, as long as the father makes it clear that he's giving the money strictly to his daughter, that would be enough to prevent the husband, that should be considered that the husband's benefiting from it. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of Rameyer. Maskler Rav Zeira, ask Rameyer, Kaman Azla Hosh Matzah Derav, according to whom does this Gemara follow, that only if the father said to the daughter, El Mach At Noisas from the Seance Beficha, then the husband can't get it. Obviously, as we just explained, Kremeya, it's following the opinion of Meya, the Amar that said that Eved can't buy himself out, and Aloch is Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala. And therefore, the only way to prevent the problem is by saying Almat Shat Nasas when Sanas Beficha. Ask the Gemara Vriminu. The Gemara Masechta Erevin teaches us that in those houses, there were houses, everybody lived in their own house, And then they had in front of their houses chatzeris, courtyards, and then a number of chatzeris. So every chatzer had a number of houses opening up to the chatzer. And then those chatzeris opened up tamavi. And the halacha is that if you want to be able to carry from the individual houses to the chatzer, you have to make a ruve chatzeris. If you want to be able to carry from the chatzeris to the mavui, you have to make shtufim mevaz. And the reason for this is because since the houses are more private than the chatzeris, if people will think that you could just carry from the house to the chatzer because they're both rishus hayochid, people are going to get confused and they're going to think you could carry from the rishus hayochid to the rishus harabim. Because just like the house is more private than the chatzer, so too is the rishus hayochid more private than the rishus harabim. So if I could carry from the house to the chatzer, which to people it looks like I'm carrying from the rishus hayochid to the rishus harabim, there's going to be room for big mistake. And that's the same reason. And the only way to avoid that, the way Chazal said we could avoid that problem, is making a ruve chatzeris. Similarly, the chatzeris are more private than the mavi, because the chatzeris were used by the people whose homes opened up to the chatzer. The mavi was used by all the people whose chatzeris opened up to the mavi. And again, if we're going to allow carrying from the chatzeris to the mavi without any halachic requirement, people are going to make a mistake and carry from shusayochet to shusarabim. So the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, teaches us, Keitzah Mishtatvim V'mavoy, how we accomplish Tufim V'voyz, says the Mishnah, Menechas Achavis, you take a barrel of wine or different food, V'ayma Reze L'chob Nei Amavoy, you take your mezaka, you say that all the people in this mavi should have ownership in this barrel of wine, mezakalai, but I can't do a direct transfer. I have to have somebody else be the middleman, so to speak. And therefore, says the Mishnah there, mezakalai day avdei v'shivchasi ivrim, the avdei v'shivcha could be the person that is that individual, ayidei b'noi b'tei gdolim, through his adult children, v'gam v'ayidei ishtoi. The Erev, the taking to be Zoycha the Erev for all these other people, can be done through any of these individuals. The Amrit. But if, as the Gemara was saying, that anything that a husband owns, or anything bad is said that a wife owns, Rameya takes a very strict position and holds Kana Yosam Bala, the wife, the husband automatically owns, so then what are we accomplishing when we're asking the wife to take ownership on behalf of the people in the chatzer? She's not an independent individual, according to Rameya. Erev, lo nafik mershus adabal. The Erev never left the husband's rishus, answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, even though Rameya, in the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin that we quoted, takes a very strict position in holding. Afgav d'amar Rameya, Rameya takes a strict position in saying the Yad Isha ki Yad Baala. Maida Rameya is agreeable in Yin Shittuf that what we're trying to accomplish here, that she's just being Zoycha, she's not taking ownership in this food to help the other people. The Kivin de Lazakas Lacherim Hu, all she's trying to do is that take ownership on behalf of other people. Umiyad Bala, she could do so even from the hands of her husband. So the way the Mishnah seems to be teaching us is that even though Rameya takes the strong opinion of Yad Isha Yad Bala, that's only when a wife is receiving a gift. So there we say that whatever the wife owns, the husband owns. Here we're taking something away from the husband. And since we're taking away something from the husband's giving up ownership, the wife can be considered an outside person to be able to do so. Says the Gemara, Esvei, asks the Gemara Esvei, Ravina Rashi asks, there's a stira between the Mishnah Masechet Erevin and the Braisa. Because the Braisa says, Elish Zochelhem, who is the person, who are the people that could take ownership on behalf of the other people for the Erev? Aidei Benoi Bita Gdoilim, through his adult children, Vavdiv Shivchas Ivrim, his children, his Avodim Avdiv Shivcha Ivris, Velish Ein Zochimbem, who can't? Aidei Benoi Bita Ktarim, since they're Ktanim, and they're still living in his home, Vavdiv Shivchas Kananim, because they're not Jewish, Vishtoi. And by Avdiv Shivchas Kananim, not only because they're not Jewish, but the factor is because Yad Evdoi, Kiyad Baloi, and Ishtoi the same. So we have a stira. Can a wife, can a ever Kanani be that individual or not? The woman has her own property in this rishus. So she has to take ownership in that property because of what she owns herself. And since she's taking ownership, and she needs to take ownership in that Erev for her own property, the migo de zachle nafshi. So once she's taking ownership for her own property, that's why Zach Lachrina, she could also take an ownership for everybody else. That's why the halacha is that the wife, so now the Gemara is sort of retracting. Indeed, the halacha is Yarisha Kiyad Bala. And because Yarisha Kiyad Bala, she cannot be viewed as an independent individual that could take ownership. She cannot be viewed as an independent person that could take ownership for something that is not, that her husband is trying to give up ownership. But here, she needs to take a share in the Erev because she owns a property all by herself that her husband doesn't have any connection to. And we'll have to give different examples how that happens, but there are examples how that could happen. And because she has that independent ownership, and therefore she's taking ownership for herself, she could also be a shliach for all the other people in that chatzor and that mavi. It's very interesting. As we explained, the principle behind Eruv HaChatzeris and the principle behind Shtufim Mevos are similar. But yet we find that, as we said, that there's different words for Shtufim, for Eruv, and for Chatzeris. By Eruv it's called Eruv HaChatzeris, and by Mavo it's called Shtufim Mevos. Why? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that Eruv HaChatzeris, the principle behind Eruv HaChatzeris is that since we all share food together, that means it's as if we're all living, and that food is one of the apartments, one of the homes in that chatzer. So it's like we're all living in the same home. So what does Eruv HaChatzeris accomplish? It accomplishes that we're all together. Eruv. Eruv means mixed together. By the food being in the home of one of these homes in the chatzer, it's as if we all live in that home. Shtuv Mevos doesn't work with that mechanics. It doesn't work that we're all living the same place. It works that we're all connected. And therefore, instead of using the word Eruve Mevos, we use the word Shtuv Mevos. There's a very interesting halacha. On Erev Shabbos, if it's Yontif, if Yontif is on Friday, and then we want to be able to prepare on Friday for Shabbos, the halacha is that we have to make an Erev Tevshilin. The question is, We also, if it's Shabbos, going to have to make an Erev Chatzeris. What, so the Mishnah Brura and Simon Shin Samach Vav, Sif Kotten Ayin Tes, says that if somebody has to make multiple Eruvin, he can make one Bracha and be Yoitza both all the Eruvin that he needs to make. The question that comes up is why it's going to be Alocha. I have to make an Eruvei Chatzeris, I have to make an Eruvei Tevshilin, I have to just make one of those type of Eruvin, and somebody else needs to have a different type of Eruv. And the halacha is that that person, can I make a bracha? I can make a bracha to be yoyt to somebody else. But the chiv of my bracha is an Eruvei Chatzeris, and the chiv of your bracha is, let's say, Eruv Tchumim. When I make the bracha ala Eruv, could you be yoyt to that bracha? Because we need to think about it. On one hand, it's not the same type of Erev. And also, besides that it's not the same type of Erev, the Erev is not being made for the same person. The Mishnah Brura speaks about a case where Erev is being made for one person. So since one person is using that Erev, so that's why, even though there are two different Erevin that are being constructed, it's all for one person. But maybe if it's two different types of Erevin, and also two different people, the halacha is that you could be, the Cheshukei Chemed says you could be Yoitza, you could still be Mighty somebody else. And therefore, he says Similarly, that we know the Arba Tzrichin L'Hoydus, the different individuals who have to bring a carbon toido, Bizman Shabbos Minish Yekayim, have to say Birchas HaGoymel, Bizman Hazeh, Yorde Hayam, somebody who travels overseas, somebody who's released from prison, Choyel of Nisrapa, somebody who was ill and got well. And the question is, the halacha is that one person can be mitzi another person in Birchas HaGoymel. But the question he asks is, can I, if I'm mechuyev in Birchas HaGoymel because I traveled overseas, and there's someone else who's mechuyev in Birchas HaGoymel because he was ill, so when I make the Birchas HaGoymel, can I be mitzi someone else who A, is not me, and B, has a different reason for saying Birchas HaGoymel? He suggests that Birchas HaGoymel may be different than a Birchas HaEriv. Birchas HaErivin is a Birchas HaMitzvahs. And by Birchas HaMitzvahs, we know that the halacha is that one person can be mighty another person. By Birchas HaGoymel, the whole chiv of Goymel is really an expression of thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did for me. And there, it probably is, in general, most appropriate that everybody should say that their own Birchas HaGoymel. As we just learned extensively in our shir, Kol Ma Shekonsi Isha Karna Bala. The Shas HaTshuvas Yehuda Yala from Yehuda Osad Zatzal and Evan Ezer Chelik Beis discusses a situation where there's a husband who gives his wife every week money for household needs, and then the husband finds that the wife had put away some of that money. And the wife says that money is mine. I saved and scrimped in order to have that money for myself. The husband says that, no, Kol Ma Shekonsi Isha Karna Bala, and that money is mine. So the Yehuda also discusses what is the halacha. So he says a very interesting approach. He says the husband gave the wife every week money for household expenses. The wife is saying not that she saved money, she went shopping in the places where food is cheaper, and that's why she was able to save money. Because if that were the case, it would seem that money belongs to the husband. Maybe the wife is not obligated to do so, but if she did so, it's to the husband's benefit. Only, says Rabbi Yehuda Asad, if she says that I was allowed to take food and I ate less food than I should have. I spent less on clothing than I should have and could have. And I therefore saved money. Then Rabbi Yehuda Asad agrees that the money is hers. Rav Moshe takes a different approach. Rav Moshe in the Shalos HaTshuvos Sigur Moshe Evan Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Kovov says that the fact that she went shopping to different places to save money, and therefore by shopping in these ways and taking out the tircha to shop that way, and it was sometimes difficult. She had to go from one store to the other. She had to go to stores that were not necessarily as convenient to shop in as the stores that she could have. So even if the reason she has this money is because she saved and scrimped money from in that way to save the money, there too, even though the halacha is Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, Ramosha suggests that she would be able to hold on to that money because that's money that she worked to save, and she's entitled to keep it.